Baseball has rules. The distance between the bases is 90 feet. Nine players take the field for nine-inning games, and everybody knows three strikes and you're out. But there was a time when those rules had not been established, and into that time came a guy named Doc Adams. This week, the Baseball Hall of Fame announced that Adams will have his first chance for induction under something called the Pre-Integration Era Committee Ballot. His great-granddaughter, Marjorie, has spent the past 4 years working toward this day. Marjorie Adams, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's nice to be here.
I know you could probably spend all the time we have answering this first question, but why do you feel Doc Adams should be in the Hall of Fame?
History is very important to me. Doc Adams is important to me. And the part that he played in our national pastime has long been overlooked. And it is time, because this year, 2015, is the 170th anniversary of the founding of his team, the New York Knickerbocker Baseball Club.
Doc Adams has been credited with establishing all the rules that I earlier mentioned, and I understand he's also been credited with creating the position of shortstop, which he played for the New York Knickerbocker Baseball Club back in the 1840s. Have I got that right?
Yes, that was his favorite. That is according to my grandfather, who was Doc's youngest son. He loved the shortstop position. And the reason for the need for the shortstop position was there was no standardized equipment at that time, and Doc made all the balls for the team. He was taught how to do them by a Scottish saddler in Lower Manhattan Island. And the balls were very light. So you could bat them quite a distance, but you couldn't throw them very far. So the shortstop position was a relay position to relay in from the outfield into the bases. And as the equipment got better, then the shortstop moved in to where he is today.
Your great-grandfather's full name was Daniel Lucius Adams, but Doc wasn't just a baseball nickname, as I understand it. He earned that nickname.
Yes, he did. He graduated from Yale in 1835 and then went on to Harvard Medical School. He then went to New York City in 1839 and set up his medical practice. And he also was a volunteer physician working with the poor in the city of New York and was often called upon to help out during the various cholera epidemics.
This is a busy guy. I wonder that he had time to play baseball and invent the rules.
Well, I think in those days the pace was slower. Most people of a certain position in the world were pretty much done with their business day by 3 p.m, and they had little time on their hands. He got into baseball for exercise, and that's what the baseball club was all about. This was not a highly competitive group. It was really a gentleman's club. They would usually take a ferry boat from Barclay Street on Manhattan Island over to Hoboken, New Jersey. And in an 1896 interview of the Sporting News that they did of Doc, he has this wonderful line about getting to Hoboken, and they were free from all restraint. And throwing off their coats, they would play until it got too dark. And I think that paints the most wonderful image.
It's pretty much the way things are today. If you want to be free of all restraint, you just go to New Jersey.
Well, that's certainly my first choice.
When you were growing up, did you know that your great-grandfather was so important to the game of baseball?
Not at all. Not at all. We knew the basic facts, but that was pretty much it. Boasting is not in our family DNA. That's considered unseemly. But I have learned more in 4 years than I'm sure my father or grandfather ever knew.
Well, how did that happen? How did you go about acquiring that knowledge?
I had a lot of help. Back 4 years ago, a man by the name of John Thorne, who is the official historian for Major League Baseball, published a book by the name of Baseball in the Garden of Eden. And I looked in the fly leaf and on the inside jacket, and the first name I saw there was Doc Adams. I couldn't believe it. So I absorbed that book. I just drank it all in. About 3 weeks later, I was at a lecture on vintage baseball in Simsbury, Connecticut, and I was going to ask the lecturer at the end if he had ever heard of Doc Adams. Well, the second picture on the screen was Doc Adams. I almost keeled over. I had absolutely no idea. but I have loved every minute of it, and I am going to see it through to the end, and I will live to see Doc Adams get in the Hall of Fame. I'm just hoping it's next year.
If it isn't next year, because there are other candidates on this list with Doc Adams, will you continue your efforts?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not giving this up. I've come too far. Oh, no. No, 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 no. I want to make sure everybody knows there is no way I am quitting this. I'm like a dog with a bone, and we're going to get this done. I would just like to point out, since you sort of referenced the other candidates, there is a very famous 19th century ball player on the ballot, a man by the name of Bill Dahlen, who should certainly someday be in the Hall of Fame. However, he was a shortstop, and therefore I think Doc should go first.
I love your reasoning.
Thank you. I've got more. Look at what we have today. Because of the efforts of the early pioneers of the game, and Doc is just one of them. This is Doc's turn. Doc is on the ballot, and I think he should get in.
Marjorie, I particularly enjoy talking to people who give me a reason to root for a player or a team in an upcoming competition, and you have given me a wonderful set of reasons to root for Doc Adams, so thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Bill. It is my pleasure. I'm his biggest fan.
Marjorie Adams is the great-granddaughter of Doc Adams, whose candidacy for the Baseball Hall of Fame will be decided in December, and I hope, voters, that you're listening.